First Epistle to Timothy, chapter 5, from the verse number 17.
Let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine. For the scripture saith, Thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn, and the laborer is worthy of his reward. Against an elder receive not an accusation, but before two or three witnesses. Them that sin rebuke before all, that others also may fear. I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ and the elect angels, that thou observe these things without preferring one before another, doing nothing by partiality. Lay hands suddenly on no man, neither be partaker of other men's sins. Keep thyself pure. Drink no longer water, but use a little wine for thy stomach's sake and thine often infirmities. Some men's sins are open beforehand, going before to judgment, and some men they follow after. Likewise also the good works of some are manifest beforehand, and they that are otherwise cannot be hid.
This short passage starts with the verse number 17, and the verse number 17 starts with the word elders. In the verse number 18, for some reason we have an ox. To have a whole picture, or at least as large a picture as we can have, reading this passage, we may consider that the passage was written by the Apostle Paul, who also is an elder, and the passage has been addressed to Timothy, who also is a leader and elder. And if we consider the whole Christian church, between the apostles and the oxen used in the gospel labor, we have a wide span, a spectrum of many members of the body of Christ, the body of believers, and potentials, opportunities, and instruments the Lord has given to that body to use in serving Him who is the head of the body, the one that is above all of us. This passage is concerning the elders, the leaders, and as often the Word of God given to us by the Holy Spirit through the apostles, the message of the Lord Jesus Christ He brought to us from the Father, has multiple dimensions, and there is teaching and help and enlightenment for every one of us in every part of the Scripture if we submit to the will of the Lord and seek His guidance, His protection, and His correction. This last one is not the most beloved one among the disciples. I know that by my own experience, and yet it's just as necessary as any other part of our Lord's ministry to us in order that we may do the will of the Father. His continuous foot washing of our souls, our mind and heart. Everyone is a leader to some degree, to some extent. Even if there be twins, and yet brothers in Christ and the children of the Heavenly Father, and if they are, humanly speaking, identical, one is a leader, the other one is a helper, and it might be that today one of them is leading, the other helping, and tomorrow the other one will be leading, and the first one will be helping, and so on. And here we read in the verse number 17 about the elders that rule well. What is well in ruling, and how can we rule? The Lord Jesus Christ Himself told us openly and freely that He is the head of that body. He is the Lord and Master. He told to the disciples, "You call me teacher, so I am. However, I wash your feet. I am a servant among you." The Apostle Peter is teaching that the elders should not be dictators, not even benevolent dictators. They should be leaders, leading in example, in self-denial, self-sacrificing, knowing that all they, or should I say we all, have an elder, a shepherd, chief shepherd, and the supreme leader in heaven, our Lord Jesus Christ, and we should never forget how he ministered and served. I mentioned foot washing, and I wouldn't go that far to use hours of teaching, preaching, and sharing about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ on the cross. Not only that, starting his earthly journey, the Almighty Creator, starting his earthly journey as one single cell in the womb of a virgin. A message to every believer, a message to every minister, every elder, that the greatest step in following the Lord Jesus Christ starts with a fraction of a millimeter. In serving the Lord, in serving his body, in which the least member is still a member of that body, no kindness, no labor, no effort is too small or too great. What is ruling well? What's the meaning of that? James in his epistle said, we all make mistakes. None of us is perfect. The only one that is perfect is the head of the body. And that perfect leader was forsaken by all those that believed him and surrounded by all those that hated him. And that was the moment in the history, the moment of the fiercest battle between light and darkness, the truth and deception, the Heavenly Father and the only begotten Son and the Holy Spirit on one side, battling against the other side, which is the beast and the false prophet and Antichrist. And I think that in the history of humanity, since the beginning of the creation, this was, that moment was the greatest revelation of God's constant victory over the powers of darkness, the forces of evil, that we might in full confidence live in expectation of his ultimate triumph that already happened. We just need to see it, to experience it. So in that frame, I would like to say the elders that rule well are the followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, and they submit to one another. They consider not themselves, or should I say in the first person singular form, I do not consider myself worthy of double honor, but every other minister, every other elder, every other believer. So if everybody else is somebody and I am a nobody, what about me? Who am I? What am I? The first answer to that question that came to my mind this moment is the answer of John the Baptist. He was an elder too. He said, I'm only a voice. And when some people, perhaps some of his disciples or the other listeners to his teaching, were comparing the Lord Jesus Christ and John the Baptist as a competition or some form of confrontation even, John the Baptist answered, no, there is no such a thing. I personally should diminish, and the Lord Jesus Christ should fill the universe. My interpretation, which John said, he should increase. So I should say that ruling well means following the Lord Jesus Christ, seeking his guidance, protection, correction, and seeking his honor and the will of the Father. That means ruling well. And since I'm a voice, I want that voice to be clear. Since I'm an instrument, I want that instrument to be well protected, preserved, and used. Since I'm a vessel, I want that vessel not to be empty and filthy, but rather filled with the honor and worship of the Lord. So if I'm an elder, am I worthy of double honor? No. No, I'm not. I'm not even worthy to be an elder. Not only I'm unworthy of being an elder, I'm not even worthy to be a follower. The only one worthy is the Lord Jesus Christ Himself, the perfect elder, the perfect minister, perfect in all His ways, even when He purged the temple, just as well perfect as when He said on the cross, "Father, forgive them, they know not what they do." Always focusing on the will of the Father. And so as He was guided and led by the will of the Father, so the apostles were guided and led by Christ's Spirit, and so are we today led and guided by the Word of God, because the Word of God is the Spirit and the truth. When we study the Word of God and we strive to do His will carefully and prayerfully, we cannot avoid experiencing the presence, protection, and guidance and correction of Christ's Spirit. Yet we must be careful not to manufacture our own spirit and twist the Word of God around our own ideas. What about the other elders that I know or I heard about, or perhaps I shared the leadership, the eldership with them? Yes, I must count them worthy of double honor. And the elders that are above me leading and teaching, I must count them worthy of double honor. And yet, all of us must labor in the Word of God and in the teaching doctrine. So there could have been elders that were not teaching, that were not presenting the Word of God or expounding the Scripture to the disciples in their meetings and in their private sessions, the elders only or the few leaders alone. There probably were some elders that were around the distribution of the food or the reliefs of the needy or a special ministry to the aging and the sick. Perhaps there were some elders that were ministering without words, just by deeds and manners, and yet their ministry and their testimony was more outspoken than many gifted preachers and teachers. This moment I'm thinking about two witnesses, the little girl, the young maid that was captured by the Syrian soldiers and taken to Syria as a slave girl, and yet she reached out to her master Naaman and told him about the prophet of Jehovah in Israel. And the other witness is Lazarus the beggar. I just cannot resist admiring that testimony, so magnificent, so bright, so beautiful, and yet one that I don't think anyone would ever desire or pray for. Then what is that double honor? We remember the teaching of the Lord Jesus, how He said that honoring the parents means taking care of them when they are old, needy, aging, perhaps sick and weak, and so on. In this same chapter, verse 3, we see that honoring widows means taking care of them, supplying their needs, physical, spiritual, whatever the need is. If that is honoring, what is the double honoring? I think the first and the most important honor to the elders would be to follow that teaching, to obey the word that they present, and to understand the doctrines, the teaching of the Lord Jesus Christ revealed through them, by them, to us. How can we honor an elder? Just blindly following everything that he says, unconditionally always obeying his word, that could be destroying him. We follow an elder as he follows the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe that's the teaching, that's the doctrine. If anyone loves more anybody else than the Lord Jesus Christ, that person is not worthy of God's calling. That person judged himself or herself unworthy. Loving anything or anybody more than the Lord Jesus Christ might be exactly the root of all evil. So the first of the two honors would be obeying the Word of God. And if our elder is laboring in the Word and doctrine, and because of that, or because of any other reason, he is poor, suffering shortage of food, raiment, shelter, anything, and the rest of us are laboring in gaining money and earthly possessions, and we could not care less that our elder is hungry and naked and thirsty and perhaps sick, what we are doing is double dishonor. We don't obey the Word of God. We don't take care of his needs. We just mind our own business and praise our elder. He is so gifted preacher. So what are we instructed here to do? If a widow is needy, help. Do it as to the Lord Jesus Christ himself. If an elder is needy, help. As much as we are able to by the grace of God, we should help one another. That's the body of Christ. Does that mean an elder or a minister, a pastor, should have his salary and be paid for his ministry and he does nothing else? That's all he does. That's his job. Maybe for a short time or longer time, but that's not the standard and the norm for the true, genuine ministers of the Word of God. Because Paul the Apostle said, I'm not writing this that this must be done to me, for I would rather die than allow somebody to destroy my glory. Does that mean those that are content or even eager to be paid for their ministry and do nothing else, and in their church there are some poor and needy persons that are setting aside part, percentage of their meager income to enable their pastor to have a luxurious apartment or a costly limousine or anything of that sort? What they are doing? Destroying their own glory. And if they're destroying their own glory, they might not have any glory in the eyes of the Lord. In the verse number 18, I read that the scripture saith, thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn, and the laborer is worthy of his reward. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 9, we have this same reference. It is written in the law of Moses, thou shalt not muzzle the mouth of the ox that treadeth out the corn. Does God care for oxen? And then the following verse is explaining, or saith he it altogether for our sakes? For our sakes, no doubt it is written, that he that ploweth should plow in hope, and that he that thresheth in hope should be partaker of his hope. If only we are benefiting from our elders' care and ministry, and we offer nothing to the Lord and to our elder in return, we are dishonoring the elder, that word and that doctrine that he is teaching in the name of Christ, and the same way, we are dishonoring the Lord Jesus Christ, we are dishonoring our Heavenly Father. And that commandment, thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn, is not necessarily focusing on the ox, as long as I'm not the ox. When I read that scripture, that tells me I may not be so cruel even toward an animal, let alone to my fellow believer, and how much more to my spiritual leader, minister, elder. And above all, how can I be so cruel to my Lord Jesus Christ who gave himself for me? So to every elder, fellow pastor, or if I'm a member of that body of local body of believers, the local church, to my minister, to my elder, to my pastor. I owe double honor. If he is in need, I must help as much as I can. But in any case, even if my elder is the wealthiest in earthly goods in our congregation, I still owe him that first honor, obedience and faithfulness to the Word of God. The Lord Jesus Christ himself said the same in Matthew chapter 10, verse 10. The workman is worthy of his meat, his meal, his food. And in Luke 10:7, the same thing. The laborer is worthy of his hire. And if we search the law of Moses, we will find the same from the other side, another angle. We may not allow our pastor, our minister, our laborer in the word and doctrine of the Lord to be prevented from ministering to us according to our spiritual needs, because he has to take care of his bread and his raiment and his shelter and all his physical material needs. Another thing that we must be aware of: if we are an elder, the enemy is going to attack us first. If we are disciples, having an elder leading us and overseeing our little flock, our local church, Satan is going to labor hard to attack him. We should be aware of that. Is there anyone Satan will not attack in our fellowship? Verse number 19 is teaching us. First, the apostle is telling this to Timothy because the Lord Jesus Christ told it to the apostle. And now we are reading that and learning. Against an elder, receive not an accusation, but before two or three witnesses. Now we should be careful, because one false witness can make quite a few sincerely wrong witnesses. And sometimes there is a rumor, an accusation, a gossip going around, and everybody knows that the truth, but nobody knows. How do we know that? Who is the true witness? Very dangerous, treacherous thing that frequently happen among the believers. We may not lightly and carelessly accept any accusation against anyone, elder or not. But then the following verse is saying, those that sin, rebuke before all, that others also may fear. I heard different interpretations about this verse. They that sin, accusing the elders, should be rebuked before all. And quite a few elders, especially those that are not genuine, the hirelings, would prefer that interpretation. And some believers believe that those elders that sin should be rebuked before the whole congregation, and quite a few rebels feel that way. So where is the truth? I believe the truth is in this verse number 20. Them that sin, elder or not, member or minister or anyone, whoever profess to know the Lord Jesus Christ and yet is continuing in sin, should be rebuked before all. This same apostle, the apostle Paul, gave us the example in which he withstood the apostle Peter and Barnabas and all the believers that were there from Jerusalem, from circumcision, straight to the face. But this is also revealing something else. If I am an elder, if I am a leader, I must pray for the Lord's Spirit's guidance, protection and correction to teach me when it will be helpful to the others that I make my public confession, that the others also may learn to honor the Lord himself and to make their confessions, that I might be an example in everything by the grace of God. Verse 21 is telling us, I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ. It must be something awfully important. And the angels, the elect angels, that thou observe these things without preferring one before another, doing nothing by partiality. How can anyone be so faithful, so righteous? Only by serving the Lord Jesus Christ and seeking the honor of the Heavenly Father. And everything else just aligned with that one desire. Faithfulness to the Lord is against any form, any degree of corruption. In the verse number 22, lay hands suddenly on no man, neither be partaker of other men's sins. Keep thyself pure. The gifts and assignments of the Lord may not be given to anyone because of my personal reasons. Somebody is flattering me, somebody is helping me privately, and now I'm going to ordain him to be a minister or an elder or anything of that sort. Why? Because the gifts and assignments of the Lord cannot be given by anyone, nor they can be given to anyone to whom they are not given by the Lord Himself. We don't make anyone a minister. We only confirm those as ministers of the Lord whom the Lord Himself made a minister. Remember what the Apostle Peter said to Simon the magician, or former magician in Samaria? How dare you even think that the gifts of God can be purchased with money or earned by anything else? Favorism and personal exchange of God's calling does not exist in the faith and teaching of the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet, where is the church and where is the individual whom Satan did not try, and not only once, but many times, to trap into this dangerous snare? If we ordain into some ministry, or we confirm someone in a position or an office that the Lord has not placed that person in, or the Lord did not call to that assignment, that person is going to sin, and we are going to be responsible for that person's sins. We helped him to sin because we gave the Lord's property and possession into the hands of someone who is not given that duty or that ability by the Lord. We must pray, and may the Lord give us the grace to be pure. Not politicians, but the ministers of the word and the members of the body of Christ. And now in the verse number 23, one more duty and commandment and guidance for those that are elders, ministers, teachers, members of the body of Christ. We must not neglect ourselves. We take care. We should take care of our own health, strength, our limits, and our needs, not in a greedy, selfish, self-centered way, but knowing that we are a vessel designed to honor the Lord, that we are members of His body. We cannot fulfill that commandment, love thy neighbor as thyself. We cannot fulfill that commandment, not even a microscopic part of it, if we don't love our own self. We love what the Lord has given us. We love our life. Yes, we love our body as an instrument of God's goodness. That love is practiced by taking care of ourselves according to the guidance and instruction of the Word of God and the Spirit of Truth.